message is entitled, At That Exact Time. Okay? So say it. At That Exact Time. Let's stand together so we can make our Easter Bible declaration. Or as Nacho Libre would say, our Easter's Bible declaration. I can see right now you guys got to watch Nacho Libre. All right. So take your Bible. Hold it up. Most of you are already. Are you ready? Okay, are the rest of you ready? I knew it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. I believe it. And I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Excuse me. Now I'm back on. I got to get my head down there. There. Okay. If you're wondering why I did that, it's because I had neck surgery and all the stuff isn't quite yet limbered up, okay? Today, as you, I'm sure that you know, it's a day that the church all over the world celebrates the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It may not be the exact day of the week that that happened, and it may not even be the exact time of the day. And we may even have borrowed another holiday to celebrate it, but it's still the most awesome day with the most awesome meaning. Glory to God. I mean, the events that we celebrate this Resurrection Sunday is what justifies and solidifies every promise that Jesus ever made, every claim that he ever claimed, every miracle that he ever performed. And it makes all, say all, it makes all of what we believe absolutely true. Just like Serena was saying, the cross is nothing without the empty tomb. Amen? Glory to God. Glory to God. In the movie A Case for Christ, the statement is made that if the resurrection could be disproved, as in, if it could be proved that the resurrection never happened, or if it could be proven that the resurrection was just a hoax, then the whole of Christianity would be a house of cards. In other words, our faith could be and would be proven false, and our faith would easily fall. If the resurrection didn't happen, then as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to read a lengthy portion of scripture here, 1 Corinthians 13:19, where he says this, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. I don't want my faith to be futile. You are still in your sins, and that's the worst part. I'd still be in my sins, okay? And you would still be in your sins. Then also, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life, and get this, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. In other words, we would be absolutely pitiful if what we claim about Jesus isn't the truth. Amen? If it isn't the truth. But you know what? Come on. You know what? Jesus did rise. You see, I'm going to get loud today, so you might as well get loud today, okay? Jesus did rise. Jesus did take the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Glory to God. And Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he is ever making intercession for you and I morning, noon, and night, from now to forevermore. Amen. Glory to God. And just one more and, okay? And Jesus is alive. Amen? Come on, shout it with me. Jesus is alive. One more time like you mean it. Jesus is alive. Glory to God. Now, I can't speak for you this morning, okay? But I know that I get excited because I know that what we celebrate today proves that it proves that my faith in Christ is real, okay? Jesus did die. Jesus did rise. And Jesus did sit down at the right hand of the Father. And he did it all for me, and he did it all for you. Jesus did say from the cross, it is finished. It's finished, which means it is totally accomplished once and for all. It's done. It's over, okay? Never needing to be done again. Well, but what was finished at the cross of Calvary? The price for our salvation was paid in full. There is nothing you can do to buy your salvation. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how, you know, who you've become. The only way to Jesus, the only way to heaven, I should say, is through Jesus Christ, who bought our salvation that day on Calvary. I mean, that is exciting, because I know who I am, and I know how often, I would think you can probably identify with this, or I'm a bigger sinner than all of you. I know how often I fail. I know how often I think things about people that I shouldn't think about them. But the fact is, it's finished. It's over. And I repent and I walk the other way and I try not to do it again. It's done. Glory to God. It's done. Paid in full. And I, you know, just, this is me, but that just sounds like something that you should get excited about, especially on a day like this. What Jesus did for you on Calvary made everything true. Why? Because the resurrection sealed it. The resurrection sealed it. Say it with me. God is good. All the time. And all the time. God is good. To who? To me. To me. Amen. Okay. Will you let me back up just a little bit? Thank you. That's one yes. In fact, let's back up to what we have come to know to be Good Friday, the actual day that Jesus was crucified. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 27, and we will read 50 verses 50 through 53. And I would like to talk to you this morning, okay, about a tremendously significant event, or I should say events that took place on the day that Jesus was crucified, that we seem to, well, we don't really forget them, but we seem to tend to just kind of run over them and not mention them because we get so used to reading them, okay? You know, it just seems to kind of get swept under the carpet due to the events of the day, okay, when actually one of the most significant things that happened that first Good Friday is what I'm about to tell you, okay? I'm going to be reading out of the New King James today, which I normally do. And if you like, spoiler alert, you know, you can read from the screen behind me. Yeah, you really can. You know, we've been talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and here I go. We've been talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Do you know the resurrection paved the way for the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Because Jesus said, if I don't go away, you know, then the Holy Spirit's not going to come. But he did go away, and he was resurrected. And where did he go? He went to heaven. What did he send down to us? What did he send? The Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay, let's read Matthew 27, 50 through 53. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. That would be a spooky time. No, really. Maybe Uncle Bart was a really godly man, and he died 10 years ago. All of a sudden, he's up and preaching again. Yeah, I'm sorry. When I think about it, it's a scary time. But I'd like to talk to you just briefly today about some things that happened at the exact same time, okay? At the exact same time. Gary, would you come up and pray, excuse me, for the message and pray for me this morning? I would appreciate it.
Let's pray. Father, God, I just thank you for today, Lord. I pray that we would just carry the excitement of Easter with us as we go. Father, thank you for this message, God. Thank you for Pastor West, Lord. I thank you that you are going to speak through him, God, that the resurrection power Lord, is here and available, God, and you'll use it to just speak through him. Father, let us be doers of your word, God, not just hearers. Lord, I pray that we would hear, but God, that we would go and do. Father, just thank you for today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gary. We're going to take just a minute and go through the events that happened the day on Good Friday, maybe looking a little closer at the text than we normally do, okay? Matthew 27:45, which is just before what we just read, says this, "Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land." Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all record in their account of the gospel that on the day that Jesus was crucified, the sky turned ominously and strangely dark at the sixth hour of the day, which would be from about 12 till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But notice the words of Matthew, what he uses to describe this event. First, he says, there was darkness. Okay, there was darkness. The words "there was" come from a Greek word which describes the event or an event that just creeps up on someone. Okay, it kind of creeps up on you before you really know what's happening. So just picture it with me a moment. You know, suddenly and quite unexpectedly, the clouds started rolling over the land, and it was getting darker and darker and darker until finally this unexpected darkness, if you will, just consumed the entire sky. I mean, it just got dark, okay? Just put yourself there for a minute and think about it. And if you think about being there, it seems to me that this would be pretty scary too, okay? All of a sudden, it's dark at noon. I mean, what's happening? You can't look online to find out. Hello. You can't Google it. You just have to accept it. It's dark. That's the way it is, in the middle of the day. But the word "dark" that is used in verse 45 is the Greek word skotos, and it's used all throughout the New Testament to describe something that is very, very, say very, dark, okay? And this sudden and unexplainable darkness, if you will, covered the whole land. The word for land that is used here in the Greek is the word for the earth, and it refers to the entire earth, okay? Not just some small geographical location. That means the whole earth blacked out, okay? It turned dark everywhere. So, the Bible is letting us know that at that exact moment, the whole world literally became engulfed in darkness at the same time, okay? The Bible also tells us that the darkening sky started at the sixth hour, which is noon. This is significant because the sixth hour, or the noontime, was the exact same time that Caiaphas, the high priest, began the procession where he would enter the temple to slaughter a pure, spotless Passover lamb at the same time. Okay? This darkness that covered the land lasted until 3 o'clock, and it was at that exact moment that the high priest would be making his entrance into the Holy of Holies to offer the blood of the Passover lamb to cover the sins of the nation for everyone. And it was at this exact moment that Jesus shouted from the cross, "It is finished." And what's wild is, you know, I want to imagine hearing him, and I can just imagine, it was like a victory shout, okay? It was like a victory shout. It was like he was shouting, "My assignment is complete. There's not going to be any more pain. There's not going to be any more suffering," okay? And what Matthew writes next in verse 51 is really absolutely amazing. He writes this, "Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." And please stay with me here. The word "behold" is a Greek word, eidouo, okay? It's a word that is full of intense feeling and intense emotion, full of shock, amazement, and full of wonder. Okay, the King James and many different translations translate this word as "behold." But today, in our modern world, the translation would be better rendered and probably better understood if it was rendered "wow." Okay? Wow. It's almost like Matthew is saying, wow, 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 wow. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? The veil of the temple has been torn in two from the top to the bottom. In fact, Matthew wrote about this. Now, just think about this. He wrote about this event not the day it happened. He wrote about this event many years after it happened, and he was still so blown away by what had happened that day that the only word that he could find to describe it, if you will, was wow. Say wow.
Wow.
Come on, say wow. Wow. That's better. How often do you say wow? You got to say this stuff with some enthusiasm, right? Say wow.
Wow.
Yeah. So you might ask, you know, why was this veil-ripping event so amazing? Well, it was a big deal. Why was Matthew so wowed, if you will? Well, let me try to explain it, okay? I hope you're okay with that. There were two veils inside the temple, okay? One at the entrance to the holy place, and another at the entrance to the Holy of Holies, which housed, if you will, the presence of God, okay? Remember now, only the high priest was allowed to pass through the second veil. Only him, and that event could only happen one time a year. Only once. Only once. The second veil, now check this out and just imagine this a minute. The second veil in the temple was 60 feet high, and it was 30 feet wide, and now get this, it was 18 inches thick. I mean, we're not ripping, you know, the veil, right? We're talking 18 inches thick. One early Jewish writer states this, the veil was so heavy that it took 300 priests to move it. That's pretty heavy. It would have been impossible, humanly speaking, to tear this veil. But at the exact moment, say at the exact moment, Caiaphas stepped up to kill the Passover sacrifice. Jesus shouted, "It is finished." It was at the exact moment, miles away from Calvary, inside the Temple of Jerusalem, an unexplainable event took place. A supernatural event took place. This massive, fortified, thicker than thick, okay? Veil. Whoa, don't fall over. I'll be all right. Okay. Anyway, this massive veil, all right, that stood before the Holy of Holies was suddenly split in half from the top to the bottom. Do you think that was a quiet event? I doubt it. I really doubt it. The sound of that veil splitting must have been deafening as it ripped and tore from top to bottom. It was as if the invisible divine hands of God himself reached out and grabbed a hold of that veil and tore it in two. Glory be to God. But what was the significance of the veil tearing? Why is it a focus for us Christian? Why is this so important? Okay? The significance was this. See, at one time, the anointing's strong up here, okay? What was once impossible, say impossible, what was once impossible for us to get to, and that is the presence of God himself, was now opened for you and I. And that's a big deal. I mean, praise God. You should give him praise this morning. If it wasn't for the veil being rent, you couldn't get to him today. Your praise and your worship would be deadened before the veil. But we can get to him today. Excuse me. I mean, can you imagine? Now, just imagine, okay? How shocked Caiaphas must have been when he heard these ripping sounds above his head, and then he watched the veil begin to be torn in two. Just think of what might have been going through this evil high priest's mind when he saw that the way to the Holy of Holies was opened up and the pathway to God's presence was all of a sudden now accessible to anybody. He knew Jesus was in the process of being crucified. And he must have known that the two events somehow were seemingly happening and queuing off each other. You see, when Jesus was lifted up on the cross became the eternal mercy seat, okay, where the blood of the final sacrifice was sprinkled. That's what it became, okay? And once that sacrifice was made, it was no longer necessary for a high priest to continually make a sacrifice year after year. Why is that? Because Jesus' blood, glory to God, Jesus' blood made the final sacrifice. It was enough. Say, it was enough. It was enough. Glory to God. I mean, that ought to get your blood pumping this morning. Amen? And that's why the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 2 that Jesus has broken down the middle wall of separation. Okay? He's broken down the middle wall of separation. Another version, the New American Standard updated version, says, Jesus has broke down the barrier of the dividing wall between us and him. You know, it is really valuable, if you will, to read different interpretations, okay, different translations, I should say. You'll get much greater of an understanding of what is really happening if you do. Amen?
Amen.
The thing that excites me, when you think about it, where we couldn't get to before is actually opened to us. Okay? What once was off limits is now within our limits. Glory be to God. And because of what Jesus accomplished at the cross, we can now go in and talk to God anytime we want to. When you're having a bad time, you can walk in. When you're having a good time, you can walk in. When you're not having any time at all. You ever had that? I have. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That doorway is open. Oh, I don't think you heard me, so I'm going to come down here where you can hear me better. The doorway is open. It's open now. It wasn't open before. We couldn't open it before. But now it's open. It's open. Glory to God. He bridged a gap that we could not bridge. I don't think you got to grasp this. He bridged a gap that we couldn't. Well, maybe on a good day. No. You couldn't. That bridge is only there because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I mean, praise the Lord. And really, you know, that's why I get excited today. And as believer, dash priests, each one of us can now enjoy the presence of God each and every day, each and every hour, each and every second, minute, forever. I cannot imagine, now that I've experienced the presence of God, I cannot imagine what it would be like to no longer be able to experience the presence of God. At times when you're lonely, nothing fills that gap like the presence of God. At times when you find yourself just in trouble, you know, you'd think at almost 70 years old I wouldn't get in trouble anymore, but you know what? I still do. And those moments of trouble, I don't have to worry about reaching out to Gary or Serena or anyone. I can reach out to God, amen? I can reach out to him because he's there and he lives within me. Glory be to God. I mean, I think there's a degree and a depth of this whole thing that we really don't understand. That, I mean, how can God, the Almighty God, the creator of the universe that just spoke and everything came into existence, how can he live in here? Oh, come on. How can he live in here? But he does. He does. Okay. Nothing. Say nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing now stands between God and his people. Nothing at all. I talk to people at times that say, I tell them, you should, and I won't tell you the situation, but I just say, well, you really need to get to God. Just pray. And they say, I can't. I don't know how. And I usually will tell them, well, you're talking to me right now. Talk to him the same way. You know. And people don't grasp how important it is. How important. Christians don't grasp how important it is that the veil was rent. Anyway, listen to Hebrews 10, 19 through 22. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Sorry. I'm not sorry. Sorry, not sorry. All right. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, where? Through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I mean, glory be to God. What's the way? I don't know how to get there. Go through the veil, man, right? You go through the veil. You go through that place that said you can't get to God from here and find out that you can get to God from where you are now. Because of what Jesus did, you and I can now do what it says in Hebrews 4:16. And this scripture, I love it because if you tear the Greek apart, it becomes so much more, and I'm not going to do it today, but it becomes so much more amazing. Come boldly to the throne of grace. We can come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace when we're doing good. Come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace when? What does it say? Yeah, help in the time of need. When you need help, God is saying, come to me. Just come to me. How many of you have got kids and you talk to your kids after they've gone through something and you say, why didn't you come to me? Why didn't you come to me? I could have saved you so much grief. I could have helped you so much. And that's what God is saying, you know. Why don't you come to me? It doesn't matter what you're going through today. Why don't you come to me? Well, I went and talked to Pastor West. No, no, no. Why don't you come to me? You can come to him. You got to be able to grasp the amazingness and awesomeness of that statement, that we can go to him whenever we want. There's a lot of people on earth, right? There's a lot of people. They can all go at the same time and he hears them. Oh, come on. He does. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. And he's all the time beckoning for more. You know, come on, come on. Do you need some grace? Do you need some help? Come on. And all of this became true at that exact moment, okay, because of the resurrection. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah like you mean it. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, you did that time. That's good. That's good. And, you know, I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me, okay? And I'm going to tell you, when I realize, and when I bring it back up in my mind, when I remember, okay, what Jesus has really done for me, how he's opened the way to God for me, how he's washed away my sin, how he's opened the way for the Holy Spirit to come, you know, that makes me want to praise him and worship him, and you know, they can say no kings all they want, but he is my king, amen? He's my king. Glory be to God. Why don't you stand with me, please? And I want each one of you not to care who's standing next to you. Okay? Just tuck yourself away. If you got to close your eyes, close your eyes. That does help, by the way. And I want you to, this morning, after hearing just a snippet, seriously, of what he's done. Just a picture into what he's done. I want you just to, right now, begin to think about what that means in your life. Just begin to think about it. And then what I want you to do, and you're going to say you're crazy, Pastor Wes, I want you to shout. Come on. How many of you know shouting is biblical? Sometimes when we have big, bad things going on in our life and we need the walls to come down, I think I read that somewhere that they shouted and it happened. Amen? You know, I don't. Maybe that's you today. You've got some things that are insurmountable. It's just difficult to get through. You've tried. You can't get over, under, around. But I'm going to tell you this morning, if you would shout to God and give him praise this morning, and Pastor Josh will be playing at the same time, but I want you to begin right now. Just think about it. And right now, begin to let that praise come up inside of you. And you can say, thank you, Jesus. You can say, oh, God, I can't believe. I don't care what you say. You can say, I don't care. But begin to praise Him this morning. Begin to praise Him. Use your voice this morning. Begin to let Him know how you feel. Keep it going. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. God, I am so, so in love with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, what you've done in my life. God, you have healed me. You have set me free, God. You have done more in my life than, oh, God, I can't even imagine, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have a declaration that we're going to say out loud. And I always want you to be loud. I always want you to say it like you mean it and all those things. But this morning, man, I want you to say it loud and like you mean it. Okay? Okay. Now I'm going to read the declaration and it's going to be up there. But I'm going to read it and you repeat after me. I declare that I have a God-given right, to come directly into the presence of God. I declare Jesus removed the wall of separation. And because He did what He did, I have no reason to feel unworthy. Or like a beggar. When I come before the Lord. Come on, don't get tired on me. I declare. I am washed by the blood. And God calls me to come to Him. Come on, with confident expectation. One more. I declare. I can boldly come and make my requests known to God. And He answers my prayer. When I call out to Him. All right, one more. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Glory to God. Give Him praise this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. God, you are good. God, you are good. I can't think of anything better to end this service with than communion. All right? So you can be seated. And please understand, you don't have to be a member of this church or a member of an Assemblies of God church to take communion. The only thing we ask is that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen. 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 And I'll wait just a moment while the guys are getting things ready. Now, Paul wrote this to the Corinthians in his first letter. He said, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord Himself. On the night when He was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then He broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, He took the cup of wine after supper, saying this, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and His people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until He comes again.'" The next verse says something. It says, "So if anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy way is guilty of sinning against the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. And then it tells us, then you are, take the bread and drink the cup. In other words, it's a time of introspection where you say, God, is there something in my life that needs to get out of my life? It's between you and God, man. And you just say to him, whatever it is, show me. If he shows you something, turn around from it, walk away from it, repent. If he doesn't, that's okay too. But this is not a time to not take communion. It's a time to get things right and take communion. Thank you, Lord. So why don't you just take a moment if you've gotten the emblems and just bow your head and say, Lord, is there any reason that is keeping me from taking communion? And again, like I said, if there is, repent, you're done with it. Has everyone been served that wants to be served? If you haven't, just raise your hand and one of the men will come to you. All right. Gary's going to pray for the bread.
Father, we thank you for the sacrifice. We thank you for that time on the cross, God, that provided for our healing. Father, as we take the bread today, Lord, and as we remember that sacrifice, God, I pray that you would send your healing.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit and the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for that healing. In Jesus' name.
Let's take the bread together. Ron, before you sit down, would you pray for the cup, please?
Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you to give you praise and honor. Father, we know the blood that was shed was for me.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
For all of our sins. And Father, that blood is still alive today to bring healing, to bring cleansing, to bring the anointing.
Glory
to
be
change
to God,
our lives,
Jesus.
To heal our lives.
Jesus.
Father, we just pray that blood that was sacrificed in love, Lord, would just flow into us today. And Lord, we just thank you now and we give you praise for that sacrifice.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, God. Amen. Let's take the cup together. Sometimes it's kind of difficult to shift when you're in it doing something. But it is my privilege to welcome Azariah. And I said your name right, okay, that time. Home from the service right now. So let's give him a hand. Amen. Amen. Oh, and there's one more thing. I want to introduce to you Nathan Sisko and Anastasia Sisko for the first time. Amen. Amen. And if you don't know, that's my daughter who got married last weekend. Okay. Please pray for her. Have you ever seen how you spell Sisko? All right. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you so much for a day that we can focus on your goodness and your mercy, your grace, your power. Thank you, Lord, that in each one of us, there was things we could not break, but God, you just broke them when we came to you. And Father, you continue to break those things that crop up in our lives. Lord, we just give you praise today. I pray that we take this message home and just chew on it and just get more and more and more and more grateful. Because wow, what you did. And we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, and everybody shouted, amen. Amen and amen.